Because if you get a stone and you need a certain size stone, normally they'll have it. And you get so many of them, and then you feel out that, you know, I always look at my wife, and in our family, she's the potter. She's the one with the vision. And I want to tell you something. She does some pretty good things. And, I mean, she'll probably say, it's a good thing I wasn't there. She'd have thrown the first tomato, niece. Anyway. But the truth is, in our house, she is the potter. And I'm okay just being a laborer. I'm just okay being told what to do. Because I actually get back a little what I gave out years ago when I was the foreman on the job and she was my helper. But that's okay. Because you know what I learned through that? We all need a merciful helper. We all need somebody that's excited about what you're doing. And that's what God wants me to tell you. He's excited about what he's doing in you. See, because, you know, I thought this through. And, you know, some of that stone that I was edging, I had to get it's called a diamond blade. And it cuts right through it like it's butter. And sometimes you have to hit it with a hammer and a chisel. And sometimes you don't cut it right. And this is what I found out. And you know what? When I was cutting this one stone, I had to cut it three different times. That means three different stones to get it the way she wanted it shaped. And I started thinking, how many times has God got to cut on us in order to get us shaped right? I'm going to the clay, by the way. Because you know what? When we realize how comfortable, when we first experienced the love and the joy of the Lord, we were like clay in his hands. And it was okay because we were being formed in a way that we hadn't been formed in that way before. And you know what? We kind of liked it. But what I found out was the best way for God still to form this clay, which I'm telling you today, I'm clay, is to wet me down. And I found out the best way he wets me down is through my own tears. I'm way ahead of myself, by the way. But with my own tears, I believe that's how he refreshes me. And I actually, to be honest with you, I believe that's how he refreshes every one of us. For years, she ain't here either. She's going to have to take it. For years, my sister said that she hated to cry. And the Lord, 48 years ago, showed me that tears was his access to your soul, and your soul back to him was those tears, that they didn't hit the ground. They fell right into his hands. So he could water you as a garden later on. He could just let that fall down on top of you and just water you with his presence. And so many times, because we have our own plans, this, I believe, is why he was dealing with me when we were doing the stones. We've gotten hardened over the years. And some of us have refused to change. I'm talking about clay and potter here. And when you don't change, better that you fall upon the rock and be broken than the rock fall upon you and you be crushed. By the way, that rock is Jesus Christ. But we need to accept change. We need to long for change. And we need to understand the clay is always about the potter. The stone is always about the potter. What you are should be an example of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Now you know I'm not going to ask them to come up closer because they're liable to have some tomatoes and eggs with them. But I'll tell you what, he gives us ample examples and ample time. I was reading the story in here. Let me read it. Isaiah 64:8. It says, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay. Thou art the potter. And we are all the work of thy hand." You know what's necessary? What's necessary is I don't know everything about you. And you don't know everything about me. That's a necessity in God's plan in our life. He don't want us to know each other that well. All he wants us to know that he has a plan for every one of us. And together, as he brings that plan together, he's going to have us rub against each other. Years ago, we were at church camp. These are all free, by the way. We were at church camp, and Patty Hamlin, who at one time in KP was called the Sarge. I don't know what you guys are laughing at. Well, anyway, but I want to tell you something. I call her a worker. And I call her someone that's willing to not only give you orders and become that order that she's given you. She'll be part of that solution. Because I've seen the church come and go a lot over the years. And I want to tell you, if you remain in this church, somebody at some time will rub you wrong. You know what? I like to say I see a bunch of empty chairs, but I see them all full. See, because my vision is what God has given me, not yours. And Levine's sitting out there, and it's so precious that when we have something to do with little kids, like or graduation ceremonies or somebody's birthday or anniversaries and stuff like that, Levine always says something to me. You see the youth? You see the youth group? She has a vision of a youth. You know what? That's good times. She's thinking of a good times. She's thinking of a different standard. But I want to tell you something. She's talking about Clay, whether she knows it or not. And she's talking to one of the ones that want to be part of the potter. But I can't be potter unless I become an obedient piece of clay. And when he starts to move me, I start to say, that's okay. In a direction that I don't want to go, and I said, that's all right. I don't need to understand it. I just need to know that it's part of his plan. You know, in life, we seem to go and we think we're full, get a life full of curves. You're going to like this. None of us plan on getting old. I'll let you know when we get there. But one thing we learned from that, we learned how to slow down real quick. And sometimes we got to slow down to hear God's voice. You know, when you quit talking, you'll soon find out that he is. Amen. When you stop those lips from either getting on the phone all the time or, you know, I even see people talking to their phones. You know, they're listening to a program, they're talking to their phones. But once your lips stop, your ears begin to hear a lot sharper. And God, over the years, has dealt with me about have fine-tuned ears, as fine-tuned to his spirit. How many of you out here, if you could, every day of your life, would choose life over death? And if I got to say that again, you didn't hear me. God has a plan for you, but he's waiting for you to cry out for it. You know, when something happens in your life and you feel like, oh, I can't do that. That was questioning God. I can't question God. He's working everything out on my behalf. Before I ever thought of it, you know, I remember going down with my wife years ago when Josh lived downtown. He had just got carjacked. And on the way down there, we were going down 71. We looked at each other exactly at the same time and spoke exactly the same words. I want to tell you, for that to happen, I know the Spirit of God's got to be alive within that car. And we spoke these words, whatever it takes, Lord. That was our baby. Of course, everybody knows our baby's almost 41 years old. But God's merciful. He had a homeless man. Josh has got compassion for the homeless. He had a homeless man come up to him, put his arm around him, and say, I'm so sorry. that your car got hijacked. And Josh is telling us this story, and he's breaking down in the back of the car crying. He couldn't believe a homeless man would have this much compassion. But you know what? It's helped Josh to have compassion. It's helped his mom and dad have compassion. And after you've heard this, I hope it helps you to have more compassion. Some people can help it. Some can't. But you know what? That's between them and God. Just like your salvation is between you and him. I remember, you know, I don't usually remember a whole lot. But I remember knowing that I could do something if the Lord asked me to do it. Have you ever asked the Lord, ask me to do something? I'm willing to do it. Didn't he ask you to do something that wasn't what you offered to do? But his answer was, are you still willing to do that? Let me say it one more time to you. He asked you to do something, but it wasn't quite what you were willing to do. He's got a plan. And you know, after all these things happen to you, what happens is that his plan brings him glory as long as we are willing to be part of it. Are you willing to be part of his plan today? Are you willing to be the clay, or are you still the rock that... By the way, that diamond blade, I'm going to tell you exactly how God showed me. When I heard that thing grind, it was really a whine. And he said, now you hear my people. He said, I grind on them all the time. And he said, and this is the sound they make. My wife wanted to put earplugs in. Didn't want to hear it. But I'm telling you, what she was hearing, what I was hearing was two different things. I was hearing God's people cry. But he said, unless they do cry, he goes like this, they won't know my will. When you came to the Lord, did you cry? When you first sought him with your whole heart, did you cry? I know I did. In John 9, 6, I want to tell you something what the clay is used for. It says, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay out of the spit, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. I'm first telling you, you are God's clay in his hands, and he's the potter. And with God, you have the ability to heal something. Are we looking to heal people? What's God in you wanting to do? I believe personally that he's wanting to do a whole lot more than I would ever think. Have you ever felt like, why am I in a situation that I can do this? Because a lot of times you're in a situation where you can't. But maybe you can help somebody to get into a place where they can. Have you ever been in that? And you felt like, I didn't want to put my nose in there because I might get it hit, or I didn't want to hurt somebody's feelings. But the truth is, if you were listening to the Spirit of God and fine-tuning your ears, you were being led of the Spirit, and those that are led of the Spirit are the children of God. And the children of God are obedient to his voice. And it says, my sheep know my voice, and none other will they follow. I love that. Because we have so many disappointments in our lives, and we can't figure out quite where they come from. And then when we want, it's funny to me, because I always see us wanting to reach back and say, God, why did you allow that to happen? Hello? Matter of fact, I heard that today. Hello, Margaret was saying that about Oscar. Hello, did you see me fall? Hello. So many times we get our mind on something else when God wants our mind on him. You know, in the last 2 or 3 weeks, I wasn't here last week. I got the privilege to go to see my oldest grandson graduate. But in the last 2 or 3 weeks prior to that, God has been dealing with me so much about the body of Christ and how to help it, how to help it. You know, in my wife's hands, all you would be beautiful flowers. You wouldn't have to worry about getting watered or nourished or planted well, because she would take care of you. And she does a great job. But if we could help each other, let's visualize each other in God's hands and how he takes care of us. Time and time and time again, he works on our behalf when we're not even aware of it. You know, this could have happened, that could have happened. Could have, would have, should have. My God's awesome. Is your God awesome? I have a hard time not starting poetry when I say awesome, and then I want to say blossom, and then all these other things. But listen what it says. This is a note from this. I read this and I thought, that's exactly the truth. It said Jesus used a variety by his cures. And when he does something, it's not always the same way. I mean, come on. A lot of us, I mean, when we grew up, how do you take a bee sting out? Well, you go out and you make a mud poultice and you put it on that bee sting and it'll draw it out. Anybody ever heard of that? You're a bunch of liars. I mean, stuff like that. Who would ever do that? You think, oh, this isn't the way to do it, but my mom assured me it was, and I believed that what she said, and it did it. But there's all kinds of different things. So here's what God dealt with me about. You think that we're not too many here. There's not too many here. But see, God's been dealing with me about the remnant seed. And I want to tell you something. The remnant seed is what he has preserved. And I'm looking at the part remnant seed. And he's preserved it for himself. For himself. So we could help one another. Over the years, I believe without a doubt, most of you have had a miracle in your life. I mean, we might not know it. It might not be vocal. But God has carried you through things that if he didn't carry you through, you wouldn't get through. So he's done a miracle in your life. Now, 2 weeks ago at the radio station, we kind of talked about miracles. And God had already dealt with me about, he said, now how am I going to put this clay and this stone and this potter thing together with miracles? Well, what we need to understand is he's the God of the miracle. He's the God of the clay. His name is the potter. His Jesus. He does it all. He's got different varieties. He's got something coming your way, especially for you. Especially for you. It's not designed for somebody else. It's designed for you. And when you accept what he's done for you in a way that nobody else can accept it or explain it, enjoy it. Enjoy his presence. The Bible teaches that his presence is the fullness of joy. And I believe today that's exactly what he wants you to do. He wants you to have his presence and the fullness of joy. One of the last things I wrote down is he still does miracles. I believe my son is a walking miracle. Not because his mom and dad deserve it or he deserves it, but because God gets the glory. I believe in your life you have somebody that's a miracle. And if you get the opportunity, don't hesitate to tell them. Because I think that's one of the greatest things people, oh, we got plenty of time. No, you don't. You don't know how much time you got. Somebody love somebody out there that hasn't told them lately? Tell them you love them. Tell them you love them. And then put some action into that. You got an arm, put it around them. I always kid the kids when we're hugging. I said, one of your arms broke? because I always get this. And I do it with you adults, too. One of your arms broke. Don't I, Drew? That's the truth. I do. There was one guy, I'm not going to mention his name. There was one guy here years ago. The Lord challenged me. He said, are you going to allow them to be like they are, or are you going to step up and be the way I want you to be? Anybody knows I'm an aggressive hugger? Would you call me that? I mean, if you knew me, would you call me that? Well, I became a real aggressive hugger at this person who didn't want me to hug him. And then they were gone for a while. And the first day time they came back, the Lord said, go to them. And I went to them, and I didn't have to get to them. They got to me, and they hugged me with both arms. But God's willing to do so much more. He's willing to restore us. He's willing to take that clay and make it any way he wants. And you know what? Let us pray that he pour out his spirit upon us to be clay that wants to still be molded by him. Because to be molded by him is to trust him. I did get this scripture, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. And I have to stop there because I got to tell you, quit leaning into your own understanding. It steals your joy. It steals your joy. You should be so much more happier. We got to quit seeing things through our own eyes and see them through his. Him who sits on the throne, I want to tell you something, can't help it, is not alone. He's with me. I'm with him. That's something to celebrate about. Calling those things that aren't as though they are. I always look at Rich because he knows I love it. I believe the Lord loves it. I believe he's thrilled with that. He said, speak to it. It's like that mountain we cast into the water or the ocean. But you know why that mountain became a mountain? Because we kept on elevating it. We kept on looking to it and raising it up. But to be honest with you, that mountain was nothing until we started speaking to it with the wrong voice. Oh, I'm afraid. Oh, that troubles me. I have fear here. I have doubt. I want to tell you something. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into thy own understanding. But in all your ways acknowledge him. And he will direct your paths. I believe he's been doing it for over 48 years of mine. You're not going to like this, but he's the God of my heart when the heart stops. He's the God of my life when I am no more. And that's the God he wants to be. And he wants us to acknowledge it. He's good. He's awesome. And my dear, dear friend, you say, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let's close our eyes. Precious Lord, we thank you for this people today. We thank you for your word. And Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I ask that it go forth among the people. Lord, just have your way, have your way, have your way. Let them truly know that this is the day that you have made and rejoice in it. Bless Oscar and Margaret, Mark and Joey, the kids and the grandkids. Bless Mason High School. You be glorified in it all. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God in them, God in me, God is one. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Yeah. Oh, the offering? Hey, I am one that forgot the offering.